here comes the sun. Well, maybe the sun will come out tomorrow. Who knows? I've got Rowena Paxton and Alice Nugent here with me, and we're going to talk all things nutrients and sunshine and Africa and that sort of thing. Alice, welcome.
Thank you.
And Rowena, that song, Here Comes the Sun, that's very special, isn't it? And you chose that one.
I did, yes. There's always a quiz question. Who wrote it?
Oh, I'll tell you what, I will say to our listeners, if anybody knows who wrote Here Comes the Sun, give us a call at 01628 488975 or email studio at marlowfm.co.uk. Sarah Parfitt, maybe you know. You can text 07900 975 975. So, Rowena, why is that song so important?
Well, I think it's a song of hope, really, and I think it's we all go through difficult times, difficult moments in our life, and some of these moments, like winter, just feel that they go on and on and on. But winter does come to an end, and spring and summer round the corner, and that's when we have all these lovely plants out there in our environment. And that's really, I think, why we're here to talk about.
Well, you are definitely here to talk about that. Now, I was talking to Zetia Messiah yesterday about how, you know, when the clocks change and we get the dark mornings and the dark evenings, you know, that start up just gone 4 o'clock, people get miserable. They get something called sad. And a lot of people feel pretty sad at this time of year. Alice, do you know about this one? And do you have any advice for people on this?
You don't want to be sad in the winter. You want to still continue to be cheerful. So I would say drink lots of herbal teas to help you get on with the winter until you come to spring. And one of the teas I would recommend is nettle tea.
Ah, nettle tea. Now, that is something that I didn't actually have when I met up with you a few days ago, both of you. But I did have something to do with nettles, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. Why are nettles so good for you?
Nettles have been used for hundreds of years and for different ailments like joint pain, muscles, eczema. And then today they are used mainly for early stages of BPH, enlarged prostate, hay fever, to lower blood pressure, and also to support with blood sugar control.
Now, you have had many years of training as a medical herbalist, haven't you? You, if I recall rightly, you initially learnt about herbs in the bush. Tell us about that, and where was that?
It was in Mozambique, in a little place called Francungo, where my mum and dad did a little plot, and then we used to grow food for ourselves. And my mum used to take me to the bushes and pick up some herbs and cook if we have any ailments.
And then that gave you the interest in it. And then you went to university to study it. Where was that?
Yes, I felt like I needed to have in-depth knowledge about plants, especially plants in the Western world. So I went to study at Westminster University in London.
Right. And so that's given you quite an insight. And you take people like Rowena out on foraging and telling them about the various things. There's plenty in Marlow, aren't there?
Oh, there's so much to pick on in Marlow, in the woodlands, in the bushes. And then we could go for we call it a herb walk, where we can identify herbs. So you have to keep your eyes to the ground, because there's so many plants out there, you know, things like dandelion, nettles, and plantain, plenty. So the best time to pick those herbs is in the spring.
In the spring, now, Rowena, you enjoy going out with Alice, don't you? And you take a step ladder with you sometimes.
That's when we go gathering elderberries. And there's a wonderful patch of elderberry trees up past Harren Hope Vineyards. So it's a popular dog walker route. You go up the hill, and so Alice and I, sort of towards the end of August, early September, we go armed with a long rake, a long pole, and the stepladders to pick the fruits, which are ripe at that time.
Right. So, well, we'll get on to those, I think, in just... Well, Alice, tell us about the elder.
So elderberry is a shrub. It's like a bush, and it's called Sambucus nigra, meaning black, because the berries are dark red. And so we pick in August, September, and then we go on ladders, and Rowena is the best at climbing ladders, so she's my best mate at
that. Don't ask me to do that, but I'll definitely come out on one of your walks.
Yeah. So there's plenty, and when we pick the berries, we try to leave some for the wild, because we have to share, and so we don't pick, I don't encourage people to strip the trees, but pick what you need and leave some for the wild.
That's right, because you were telling me the other day that there are locations where, these bushes are stripped almost on an industrial scale, and then there's nothing left. Where does that happen? Where does that sort of thing happen?
Well, this is mushrooms, actually, down in Devon and Cornwall.
Oh.
And Alice and I we leave mushrooms alone, because you've got to be very specialised in your knowledge to know whether you're eating a mushroom or a toast.
Actually, when we met up last week, I did bring what I'm pretty confident, actually, is a mushroom, but I didn't have the confidence to actually eat it. It sprung up, actually, in our drive, and it was under my car, and it did look very mushroom-like, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if it was, but I wasn't ready to put it to the test. And that's the problem, isn't it? I mean, there are a lot of people that go out picking things and they don't know what they're doing. It's a bit worrying, isn't it?
Yeah. I love going out with Alice, because I feel that you're gathering knowledge, and you're gathering herbs and plants. It's just a gentle way to connect with our senses. And I find that there's nothing more fulfilling than wandering around and having Alice as my guide, identifying all the different plants that are growing. So for me, it's the whole process, which I love. It's first of all identifying the plant, then picking it, bringing it back to the kitchen, preparing it, cooking, and then eating it. And eating with gratitude, I find, for the abundance given by Mother Nature.
Oh, that sounds so lovely. Now, I'm going to play a bit of music in a minute, but I just want to tell our listeners that the first time I met Alice, who runs Hippopot business here in Marlow, and she was at the back of a room. There was it was a sort of networking, a ladies' networking event, and there were lots of these, like, ladies sitting around the table looking really... ladies at lunch type ladies. And Alice was at the back and she was making tea. And I went up to have a little talk with her and I said, I'd love you to come on my radio program. And she said, what could I talk about? I only make tea. And then when she came on to my program, it was one of the best interviews I think I've had, because this lady is just full of knowledge, and the way you got into your business is really remarkable, and you are a remarkable lady. So I was really pleased I found you at that event. You never know what's hiding. at the back of a room. So it's the same with plants. You never know what's hiding under a bush. So let's play another bit of music. And this is Alice's choice, and it's Africa, Toto. And we can have a little discussion about Africa after this, because both of you know Africa very well from different points of view. So let's have that conversation. There's a bit of happy dancing going on in the studio at the moment. We all feel very happy with that song. Alice, why is that piece of music so special to you?
So Africa is all about rhythm and dance. I just felt like I just want to dance. So it's about happiness as well, despite of all the things that are happening in the background.
That is so good. And that is really the spirit of the people, isn't it? That they can dance and feel good and wear beautiful coloured clothing, even at the darkest, deepest, horrible times in their lives.
It's really, really amazing. They've got so much resilience.
They have. And of course, you've found that resilience firsthand, haven't you? Because you actually run a very special charity yourself, don't you?
Yes, I do. It's called Malawi Smiles. So we've been there this year. We worked with 43 girls, teaching them basic skills of sewing, knitting, and having fun as well.
Having fun. Now, that is something that I suppose a lot of the children don't experience because... Well, if they're lucky enough to be able to go to school, they have to get up very early and get off and then come back and they have their household chores and that sort of thing. But some children don't actually have schooling at all, do they?
Yes, some of them live in really remote places where schools are not there, or they have to walk about 5 miles and leaving the house maybe 5 o'clock in the morning and then getting home late at night. So that's... It's not really encouraging for children.
Now, Malawi Smiles has started up as a result of your own family, what they were experiencing. Tell us about that.
It was my sister moved to Malawi during the Portuguese war in Mozambique with her family, and unfortunately things didn't work out very well. So she ended up with stroke and she had to look after 7 grandchildren, and she couldn't manage. And then when I heard the news, I went to visit her, and then we decided to help the children. But I couldn't do it myself. I had to get help. So I rallied up all my friends here in Malo, and they've been supporting Malawi Smiles. This is now going to the 8th year.
That's brilliant. And of course, now it supports many other children who are not related to you. And as you said, you've gone out there to see them with a couple of other people.
Yes, yes. There's always room for anyone who wants to join us. And this year there were 3 of us, and we have lovely people on the ground who help the work to continue. So we are working with people from all different backgrounds, and the children who started, my great grand children, they've done very well. They are working now, and there's only one left in school.
Well, that is so good, and you've supported them, and the lovely people in Marlow have supported them, and it's been marvellous because you run various events, don't you? Fundraising events, so that you can take out. Is it sort of like basic, you know, pens and pencil, notebooks, that sort of thing?
Yeah. So we take we give them a backpack each at the end of the week. And then it's got pencils, all the writing materials they need to start school. And then also, like, we gave them this time. We realized that some of the girls don't go to school because of menstruation problems. So we managed to get period pants. So they each one got period pants, which will make them more comfortable when they go to school. And then we gave them other interesting things as well to make the our journey worthwhile.
That's so lovely. Rowena, you had experienced Africa from a different point of view, and you have a big love for it, don't you?
Yes, it's funny how sort of the circle of life, having met Alice here in Marlow, because my late husband and I, we were in Malawi in Zomba in the early 80s. Mike was a vet, so I certainly do know the country. It's known as the warm heart of Africa. It's long and skinny, the country itself, with a beautiful lake called Lake Malawi that boasts probably about 400 different fish species, different colours. Really is a beautiful place, and I always do feel uplifted when I hear Toto's amazing song. I hear the drums echoing tonight.
That is so lovely. And, you know, so I imagine when you're out on your foraging walks together, you talk about Africa quite a bit, I imagine, the two of you.
It's full of fun, and we talk about everything, and it's just the connection with Mother Earth and plants.
Now, Alice, you also, actually, if anybody likes to look at Alice's website, which I'll give you details of shortly, they will find all sorts of information there. There's information about herbal medicine, living medicine. There's even workshops. The workshops that you do, where do you do those, Alice?
So the workshop that I do them in my kitchen. So the numbers are limited, and I run them at least once a month, and we cover all the systems with food and herbs. And then we also, I've got a little garden which we can identify some of the herbs, so we taste, smell, feel. It's really amazing experience.
That sounds brilliant. I'll have to sign up for one of those. And actually already Sarah Parfitt has been in touch, and she says that she wants to get involved. So we've got one lined up for you, but I'm sure that some of our listeners who are listening at the moment, I mean, you know, if you want a really unusual, interesting experience and get out into nature and good fresh air, then Alice Nugent and Hippopot's the one for you. And I experienced last week of a nettle patch. So what I'm going to do is tell you about the nettle patch, and Rowena will tell us about that because she absolutely adores her nettle patch. And I'm going to play Circle of Life, The Lion King, and because actually The Lion King is one of my favourites. If anybody listens to my shows will know that Lion King's my favourite. I've been to lots of shows in the West End, but Lion King still remains my favourite. And sometimes when I've mentioned it to people, they've said, "Oh, that's a children's thing." And I said, "Not if you see the show. It isn't. It's for adults as well, and it's beautifully done. There's nothing like it, and the music is very good." So here is Circle of Life. end, it goes right through you. Now, we've already now just hatched a little plan. We're all going to go and see The Lion King next year. Definitely. And if anybody wants to join us, they can. But definitely, if you want to have an experience like no other, Alice's workshops are brilliant. Now, I had the experience of nettles. Now, I've had nettles in my garden and didn't know they were good. They just sting me. And I got somebody in to tackle them, and they did what Rowena was horrified to find. They put down some poison. They did tell me that it was the sort of stuff that wouldn't harm animals, but I don't know what it was they put down. But I was quite anxious to get rid of them. But Rowena actually loves her nettles. And she showed me a nettle patch, and she'd been busy picking with Alice last Friday. So why are nettles so special to you then, Rowena?
Well, I love my nettle patch. I've lived in my house for almost 40 years, and my nettles have just grown and grown and grown because they attract many insects during the summer months. And this year, because the weather's been so crazily sort of unpredictable and warm, my nettles have had a second growth. So who would be knowing that Alice and I would be making nettle soup mid-November? Because normally we make it, we pick the nettles early May and make nettle soup out of it. They then flower early July, and Alice, I'm sure, will tell us why the seeds are so good.
Well, Alice, do tell us about why the seeds are so good.
The seeds, you can use them in your salt cellar or in your grinder to mix them with the salt and use them as food. And they are good for kidney health. And then the roots of the nettles, then they're used for other things. They are very high in vitamin C, vitamin K and B vitamins.
Who would have known that nettles would have that? So now, you know, as I said, I'm scared of nettles because they sting me. So how on earth do you get seeds out of them?
By the time you get the seeds, the nettles won't be stinging anymore because at the beginning of the season, that's when all the nutrition is in the leaves. And then the stinging is, I think, it's a protection from other animals and other anyone who wants to pick the nettles. So what I would advise when you are picking, wear your gloves and pick only the top three or four leaves. And those are the best to pick in the spring. And then also don't eat nettles raw. Make sure they are cooked, and because otherwise you can get an allergic reaction from them.
Ah, so that is very important. So the other day, both of you went down to Rowena's nettle patch and you duly both picked the little tops.
Well, this was the second growth. I didn't think we'd get another second growth because when I cut them all back at the end of July, you may remember we had a drought and rain was very scarce. And I thought, no, it just looked like a bare, bare patch of earth. With the first rains in September, I think it was, they sprang back to life. And that's given a second growth, which is why we've been making more soup. In fact, Carla, my granddaughter, who's seven, said, "Oh, Gogo, when I eat the soup, won't it sting my throat?" But no, I said, as Alex has explained, the stinging powers have all gone. But the soup is incredibly nutritious.
Yes, it is very nutritious. It's full of, it's antioxidant as well, and full with variety of minerals and nutrients, and really very good for hay fever. Also, all I would say is like anyone who's on water pills, you have to be a little bit careful with nettles because they are diuretic. And also anyone who is on blood thinners or anyone who is pregnant, ask your doctor or a qualified medical herbalist to see if you can use nettles.
So there's so much to nettles. Well, all I can say is you made a pot of nettle soup for me to try, and Well, what did you add to it? Because it wasn't just nettles, was it?
So we to thicken the soup, we add potatoes, not a lot, but we also keep the potatoes with the skin because the nutrition and the DNA of the plants are in the skin and the protective mechanism. And then we use garlic, which is good for our health, for immune. And then we put onions. And then we put salt and pepper. So it's quite simple. You can add leeks if you want. You can add celery if you want. You can, you know, add things that will enhance your soup. But you have to have a lot of nettles. And then the soup will be beautiful and green. The color green
is amazing. The color is stunning. It is like bright green. It is really, really beautiful. And then you sort of like cooked it. And then you used a what I call a musher thing.
Yeah, a hand blender.
A hand blender, that's the name of it.
Because they do reduce down a lot. So,
yes.
You know, a couple of basketfuls of nettles, you think, my God. But like spinach, they reduce. And you only cook them for about 5 minutes, that's all.
Right.
And what's so wonderful is that we make a big lot. We freeze half of what we've made.
Oh, right.
So every month I take out sort of a container, or not every few weeks, to see me through the winter. Because I think, and Alice can talk about this, I think all our immune systems, particularly during the winter, need boosting.
They do indeed. And you do have a very lovely syrup that you make, and that helps the immune system. So we'll find out about that after I play While My Guitar Gently Weeps. And the artist here is actually Toto. So George Harrison wrote this, and so this will be a good one to play now, and then we'll find out about the syrup that you produce. Well, he's finished. Toto has finished. And wasn't he good? I really like that version. And just looking up about Toto and the American rock band. And, of course, they were famous for Africa. And this is what our conversation is about, as well as all the wonderful medicinal herbs and plants that you can find in and around Marlow. Who would have known it? I used to go out getting sloes. I know that you do that, don't you, Rowena? But elderflower, the cordial is something that a lot of people like, but there are a couple of plants that look rather like elderflowers, and I'm rather nervous in case I pick the wrong one. You have got to be careful, haven't you, Alice?
Yeah, when you're picking plants, you have to be careful. You have to be able to identify them correctly. So you need to go with someone who is qualified, or you have to really do your research well. And then by also knowing the plant, you need to know the Latin name, because that's the name that's used universally, because each country has got their own names. So like elderberry is Sambucus nigra, and nettles is Urtica dioica.
Well, we're learning a lot, aren't we, on this program? Now, let's get back to nettles just very briefly, because we did talk about nettle tea. I didn't have any, but what do you do with the tea?
So with the tea, you pick the herbs, so you can have fresh nettle tea, which is a little bit earthy, but it's lovely. And then you pick all the leaves and then put them in a teapot or in a jug and pour boiled water, and then you leave it to infuse for 10 to 15 minutes, and your tea will be ready, because it will have drawn out all the medicinal properties of the leaves. And also the nettles can be dried, so you can have dried nettle tea. So drying is another process we can talk about next time. And then also you need to make sure where you are picking your nettles that it hasn't been sprayed.
Yes.
So that's very important.
Rowena, your nettle patch hasn't ever seen a drop of spray, so that's really good. So people might be knocking on your door.
Nothing in my garden has had pesticides or anything, so...
My
nettles are truly organic.
Yeah. Well, I thoroughly enjoyed them. Never thought for one minute that I would be having nettle soup. And I can tell our listeners that it's lovely, really nice and beautiful colour. And never would have dreamt that a nettle that stings me could be so good. So there we have nettles. So we've got some other things to talk about. What about this syrup that you make that's for our immune system?
Okay, so traditionally, elderberry was used for colds and flus, so for all viral infections. So it's still true today. There's a lot of research on it. So the berries, if you make the syrup, you take it every day to support your immune system. We call them, it's modulating to your immune system. I'm not comfortable with using boosting immune system. It supports the immune system. And so you take it every day. But if you've got a sign of a cold or influenza, then you have to take it more, like in acute, like 3 to 4 times a day. So it shortens the duration of the cold and also supports your immune system.
Now, in the COVID days, people have been very worried about their immune systems and generally. How did you help them? You were working online, I presume.
Yes, I was. I was seeing people online and Zoom, and then I'll send the herbs in the post, or if they are local, they'll come and collect. So one of the herbs we're using is elderberry syrup. And elderberry flowers as well, they are used for they've been used traditionally for the same effect. So it's the powerful antiviral properties.
Rowena, it's very interesting, isn't it, how the herbs, you know, around the world are used medicinally. And I know I went to the botanical gardens in Oxford, which is one of the oldest botanical gardens, and the person who was showing us around said there was a particular plant that pharmaceuticals are very keen to have because they want to duplicate it. And certainly when I went round the botanical gardens, pharmaceuticals hadn't been given this particular plant. So, you know, they are just there growing, ready to help us.
Yes, and an interesting, well, really, piece of information I learnt about the other week, because I tuned in to Robin Harford, who is the fundi on weeds, and he knows his plants very, very well. And I mentioned him to Alice, and she said, oh, yes, I've been on a course with him. He's just amazing. And he said, did you know that 80% of the world population still relies on herbal medicine?
80%?
Yes.
That's incredible. Mm. And, I mean, there they are, but you've got to know what you're looking for. But, I mean, originally, Alice, when you were being given information from your grandmother and your mother, it was sort of passed down through families, wasn't it?
Yes, it was passed down through families. And because most of the knowledge in Africa is not written down, it's passed down through families, oral history. So now we are lucky that we've got things written down, and then they can be passed on easily to other people as well.
And we in Marlow are very fortunate to have you in our midst giving advice. And I know I've bought a tea from you, you have it for specific things, but you do meet people one-to-one as well, don't you, and have a chat about what the person might be ailing them.
Yes, yeah, I see people on one-to-one. So almost it takes almost an hour, because we look at what's happening in the person's life. We look at their social life. We look at what's going on. And then from then, we can discuss and decide which herbs to use. So we normally give like maybe 6 to 7 herbs in a mix, so to get the desired effect.
Now, I'm just thinking with my consumer hat on here. I know that a lot of people in various industries are having difficulty getting things at the moment. Are herbs difficult to come by at the moment?
You have to be careful where you get your herbs from, because there's a lot of herbs that are being picked for commercial basis. And then also they're not taking care of the environment, so we have to be careful where we buy our herbs from. So they've gone expensive, but we get all our herbs from herbal suppliers that are reputable and know what they're doing.
That's good to know, isn't it, Rowena? We're rapidly running out of time. We've got a couple of minutes to go before we bring in the news, and Paul Mansell's gearing up for the Eclectic Light Show in the studio next to me. Rowena, you know, you've lived in Africa for many years. Did you come across some very interesting people who were doing herbs and medicines?
Yes, and they're actually called Sangomas. I don't know, Alice, is a Sangoma, the word is called witch doctor, but I hate using that.
Yes.
I mean, and yes, they were very knowledgeable indeed, and of course, you know, access to proper medicine where we lived. Or we had one doctor for miles around and one surgeon. I really relied on their knowledge, actually, especially when you had young children as well. They were wonderful with tummy upsets, nappy rashes, all the things that you can go to your local pharmacy to buy, we obviously didn't have access to.
Yeah, I mean, that's very interesting. And I know when I went to Egypt, we were advised to get sprays for mosquitoes from the local people rather than having something brought in from, you know, our pharmacies, because they know the things that will actually deal with, you know, the bites and what have you. So talking of that sort of thing, do you know the what to use, Alice, if you get a mosquito bite?
I think in when I go, I usually mix with essential oils like peppermint, eucalyptus, lavender. So those herbs are really good for mosquito bite or any bites.
Well, as I said, we've rapidly run out of time, and I think this is a subject that we will definitely dip into again. Enjoyed my nettle soup a great deal and thoroughly recommend it. Finally, Alice, I would give out details of your website, which is www.hippopot.co.uk. And Rowena, thank you very much indeed. We will have a chat another day about what you're doing with your business that is an African link. So we'll
I'll
do
always
that.
Look forward to coming here, Carla. Well, it's been a pleasure.
Very,
being on
very
your
welcome. So I'm going to bring us into the news with "United We Stand" by Zetia Messiah. This is a song. It was a lockdown single special that she produced, and that's when I got to know her. And a lovely lady. So I wish her luck with the various things that she's doing. I'm going to the performance she's doing at the time that Alexandra O'Neill is in concert at the Jazz Cafe in London. So thank you, everybody, for taking part. Thank you, Sarah Parfitt, for your good wishes, and I'll get to talk to you soon as well. So here is Zetia Messiah to bring us into the news.
Thank you.
Nowhere in the world I'd rather be than with you, my love. And there's nothing in the world I'd rather see than your smile. 'Cause united we stand, divided too hard along the way, just call, I'll hear. 'Cause united we stand, divided.
The Thames Valley. This is Marlow FM 97.5.